Good evening to all of you. I have a brief message this evening from Ecclesiastes chapter 8. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 8. I will read from verse 1 to 5. My brother will put it on the screen here. And I have a very brief message. I found this passage really helpful. So I'm going to read it, and I will pray a short prayer. It says, who is as the wise man? This is a question. And who knows the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom makes his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment, and that in regard of the oath of God. Be not hasty to go out of his sight. Stand not in an evil thing, for he does whatsoever pleases him. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment. Just a brief prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for your great kindness to each one of us. We thank you for you are with us this evening, guiding and leading us into prayer. Our gracious Lord, we ask that you bless this, your word, to each one of us and strengthen our faith. In the Lord Jesus Christ we pray. In his name and for his sake. Amen. My message from these five verses is vital things to a believer. A believer, while we are living in this world, we need some kind of instruction and guidance to our life. We are here blessed under the ministry of our dear pastor, Pastor Weigel. We hear the word of God week after week, and that is a great blessing to each one of us. And this word of God consummates that thing we are learning and hearing every time while we are gathering here. So from this particular passage, I want to mention a few things vital to a believer's life. The first one is based on verse 1. It is a question to a believer. Verse 1 says, who is as a wise man? It's a question, as I have said earlier. And who knows the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom makes his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. So this question actually asks us a vital question. Who is as a wise man? Wise man is a man who is wise, knowing things, interpreting things, because that is interpreted again in the passage in verse 1. And who knows the interpretation of a thing? If you are wise and if you are given wisdom by God, you will really know and understand interpretation of a thing. We are living in this world. So many things are going on. So many things in politics, in economics, and in civil commotion. How do we interpret all these things? If you are wise, you will be able, or you will be given wisdom, how to pinpoint on things and interpret them in a right perspective of life as it is. So it is a vital question, and this question asks us to examine our heart and our mind. Are we really wise, and are we really able to interpret things as we are seeing it in the entire world, and particularly in America, I shall say, because in America things are going in a wrong way than expected, and in a very dramatic, very, very, very sharp downward movement. So how can we interpret it? We must be wise in order to be able to interpret things. But wisdom is important. Pastor mentioned it from this pulpit time and again. In Hebrew, it is the word is hakma, hokma. It can be feminine and masculine noun, but wisdom, when it is a verb, it is amazing thing. It can make you to interpret, to understand, and to unlock mysteries that is going on around you. But what is the consequence of wisdom? Verse 1, after the second question mark, it says, a man's wisdom makes his face to shine. It's amazing. If you are wise, you will not be ashamed of what you stand for, because you will give a reason for what or for why you stand and for what you stand. So a wise man never face shamefulness, but his the wisdom that he has makes his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. So he will be bold and bold, never be ashamed by the stand he has in life. So this is really a very good question, and the answer is also amazing. The second point I want to mention from this portion is counsel to a believer. The first one, question to a believer. The second one, counsel to a believer. This is on verse 2 and verse 3. My main idea is on verse 4, so I will run to come to verse 4. But in verse 2, it says, I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment, and that in regard of the oath of God. He continued the counsel, be not hasty to go out of his sight. Stand not in an evil thing, for he does whatsoever pleases him. So there is power and the will of God, of course, any decision and any determination in what is going on in this world is dependent on God's judgment. But the counsel given to a believer is to keep the king's commandment. We are counseled to keep the king's commandment. But who is the king? And what is the commandment of the king? Must be asked. If we ask this question, the second portion of verse 2, which is parallel to the first portion of verse 2 in Hebrew, there is a thing which is called parallelism. So the first line is interpreted by the second line. So in the second line, you can see that in regard of the oath of God, that means the king's commandment is God's commandment. So God's commandment must be kept. It is given for us, for our life, to be our guidance and to instruct us and to guide our ways. It is amazing that we are given the word of God. Even if we are evil, we are sinful in nature. God, in his righteous kindness, has given us his commandment, and we have to keep it. We can say, I'm a believer, and I can do anything I want that is not advised in the word of God. We have to keep the commandment of God. So if we keep the commandment of God, will keep us from so many evil things. So in verse 3, the commandment, the counsel, is carried on, and it says, be not hasty to go out of his sight. There are so many people who are hasty, who do not know to hinder their ways back and consider and see things. So the council continues, do not be hasty. Don't rush to get out of the way of God, to get out of the sight of God. You must stay. You must be calm. You must be patient to be before the presence of the Lord. That is the idea. So if you are hasty, you will stand on an evil thing. So it counsels again negatively, stand not in an evil thing. So those who are hasting or who are rushing to get out of the sight of God will end up standing in an evil thing. And he says, for he does whatever pleases him. The Lord sees and considers and weighs our ways, and he is the righteous judge. So we have to be really careful to do not go out of the sight of the presence of God. And verse 5 goes with these two verses, verse 2 and verse 3. So I will read verse 5 and I will say a few things about it, and then come back to verse 4. So when we come to verse 5, it says, whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment. It is amazing. It can go with verse 2, when you see verse 2, I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment. If you keep the king's commandment, verse 5, whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing. So if we are keeping the commandment of the Lord, we don't feel evil thing in our life. This feel actually feel. I'm not commenting about the word here, but in Hebrew it is yada, means knowledge in experience. So if you keep the word of God, the commandment, you will not know evil in experience, is the idea. So you will not experience evil. So you will not know evil in experience. This is a counsel for a believer. So if we are believers, really, there is no option other than keeping the commandment of the Lord. We have to keep the commandment of the Lord. This is one mark of being a believer as well. So verse 5, it didn't end up on that, but it continues. And a wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment. So it came back again to the main idea we have seen in verse 1. In verse 1, we have seen a question, who is as a wise man? And here in verse 5, at the end of it, it says, and a wise man's heart. If you are wise, you will be able to discern. Now, I can say in this entire world and generation, there is a big lack of discernment. Go to many churches. People are not discerning. There is no discernment at all. And people are clapping and applauding so many bad sayings and so many evil and false doctrines. So if you are wise, you can be wise by keeping the commandment of God. And if you keep the commandment of God, your heart will be full of wisdom and you can be able to discern. Discern what? Time and judgment. These two things must be discerned by us. We are living in an evil time, and we are living in so many bad judgments. So for us to judge time and discern judgment, we have to be wise. And that is the idea that is mentioned here. But when I read this passage, I found verse 4 particularly very, very important. So I would say it like this. The word of God to a believer. What is the word of God doing to a believer's life? These are vital things to the believer. So let me read verse 4 and mention a few things. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, to the king, to God, what doest thou? What are you doing? No one can say to God this thing, because God is our supreme creator and God of heaven and us. But the most important thing you can see in this verse 4 is the word of God for a believer. When the author, inspired by the Holy Spirit, mentioned this, it is amazing. Where the word of the king is, I should say, this the word of God is, there is power. When you see this, you can see that the word of God can be somewhere, in one's heart, in one's home, in one's life, in one's family. So wherever the word of God is, the author says the Holy Spirit is speaking, there is power. Why do people lack power? Power to pray. Why do people lack power? Power to stand in faith. Why do people lack power? Power to resist temptation, because there is no word of God in their heart. Why do people go into contention in their family life? Why do people quarrel, fight, day and night, family? And in every place, wherever you go, there is fighting. Where there is no word of God, there is always evil. But where there is word of God, living wherever it is. When I say wherever it is, the particular emphasis is in person's life. If the word of God is in you, in your heart, in your home, in your life, definitely there is power. I want to mention a few things about this power. This power is an ability to do things, ability to stand in faith in individual's life, ability to live in love in person's family life, ability to obey young people, there are young people here, to obey parents, ability to obey the word of God and to keep the commandments, and ability to reconcile and to do not be really unforgiving. If you love to be forgiving, you have to have the word of God dwelling inside of your heart and your mind. So I found this particular verse very, very helpful. Wherever the word of God is, there is power. Power to think and power to discern. Power to resist temptation. Power to persist in holiness. Power to live life in faith. Power to get patience. Power to be used by God, to be an instrument in the hand of God. I cannot exhaustively list things that can come with this amazing word of God, that is power to do so many things if the word of God is dwelling in us. May our God, in his love and kindness, make our heart the dwelling place of his word. In order to have the word of God in our heart, we have to read it, we have to listen it, we have to attend where the word of God is going to be expounded and taught, like Open Door Baptist Church. May God bless you. And this is a short devotion. I cannot go be beyond this, but I found it helpful for my life. God bless you.